Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We are located in Rancho Cucamonga. Our worship services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. We are worshiping live, but we also have an online live worship service, and we record our services on YouTube. You can go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and find more information. Today, we're going to talk about formed, fashioned, filled, and fired up. Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives 40 days after his resurrection. The ascension of Christ is recorded at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and all the first chapters, in the first chapters of Acts. After Easter, we took a few weeks to look at Matthew's record of what happened with Jesus from the resurrection to his ascension. In Matthew 28, we are given the Great Commission, found in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 28. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Luke's full account of the ascension is recorded in the first chapter of Acts, right before we are told the story of what happened at that first Pentecost. With the Holy Spirit came the power and glory of God. Listen to Luke 1, 4 through 8. "While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set on his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Before we begin today, let us come to the throne of grace in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in your power. Come in your glory. Come and fill this place. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our minds to understand your word. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hands, our hearts, and our feet, and help us to be your servants. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to go all the way back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 2. Grab your Bibles. Genesis chapter 2. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, I'll mail you a Bible. You can just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll get you a Bible. I'll put a Bible in your hands. Email me, and I'll mail you a Bible. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 7. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude, and on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In that day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet on the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream which would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground." Verse 7. "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Acts chapter 2, 1 to 21. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared upon them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them," don't miss that, verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" In essence, they're saying, aren't all of these people speaking really kind of uneducated farmers and fishermen? Aren't they just all Galileans? Verse 8, "And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" Verse 14, "But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone," oh, don't miss this, verse 21. "Then everyone," listen, "everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If you're listening right now and you've never called on the name of the Lord, today is the day. Call on the name of the Lord. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to come into your heart. That's what verse 21 says. "Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm going to digress for a minute, but listen, I'm going to give you God's phone number. It's Jeremiah 33:3. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and marvelous things you do not know." Call to God today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know your trials. I don't know your troubles. I don't know your fear. I don't know your doubt. But call on him. Call on him right now and you'll be saved. The disciples were gathered in the upper room. They were a band of scared, nervous, anxious, afraid, worried, and lonely disciples. You could say they were the original motley crew. I think that with all that they had been through, they had faced a lot. And I think all the things that we've been through with the coronavirus, shutdowns, lockdowns, quarantines, masks, I think we're a lot like those disciples. Putting ourselves into this story may be easy for us today. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came in power like a rushing wind and tongues of fire. The scripture tells us that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. The Spirit gave them ability. What a powerful demonstration of God's love. Do you see the picture? Enter into this story. The Bible tells us that all, A-L-L, the Greek word is panta, P-A-N-T-A, panta, were filled. Do you know what it means, panta? It means all. All of them, not some, not one, not a few, not the good-looking ones or not the smart ones. All of them were filled. Sounds a lot like the end of Matthew where we spent some time, if you've been with us. All authority, all nations, all I have commanded you, I will be with you always, all time, forever and ever. Have you ever watched a potter throw a pot? I know a man who runs a pottery shop at a local, he also teaches at a local university. I once did a message while he threw a pot. It was pretty interesting. He was there throwing a pot on the chancel area, the podium area, if you want to call it. There's a lot of impressive similarities between being in the potter's hands and being a person of God. Formed, fashioned, filled, fired up with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the creation account, which we read in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we're told that God is the creator who forms us from the dust of the ground. The Bible tells us that God created light on the first day, the sky and the waters on the second day, the lands and the seas on the third day, the fish and the birds of the air on the fourth day, and all animals of the earth on the fifth day. All that he created, if you go and read the original accounts, were good. But on the sixth day, we're told that God formed and fashioned us in his image, and that what he created was very good. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God formed humankind from the dust of the earth, the clay of the ground. God fashioned us in his image, and God breathed the breath of life into us. God filled us with his spirit. The Hebrew word for breath is, it's a real guttural word. It's ruach. It's like two syllables, ruach, and you got to breathe it out. In the Greek, the word is pneuma, which we get the word spirit. In essence, when God breathed life into us, he filled us with his breath, his ruah. We are filled with God's very own spirit. Do you realize that we are formed in the image of God? Psalm 139 tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Then we are a beautiful creation created by the hands of a potter. I have a friend in Rochelle who often, Rochelle, Illinois, my town I grew up in, he was one of my football coaches. He says, "Well, I'm God's masterpiece." And then he laughingly says, "But God's not finished with me yet." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. Just like you and me, my friend who says he's a masterpiece, and I think you're a masterpiece, I've not met you, I think you're a masterpiece, but we're on the potter's wheel. Don't crawl off the potter's wheel, no matter how difficult life feels. There's no better place. As I was looking for some illustration to define the Holy Spirit, or the Paraclete is the Greek word for Holy Spirit, I came across this story. The Kari language of Equatorial Africa was difficult for the translators of the New Testament, especially when it came to the word Paraclete. Paraclete is the Greek word for Holy Spirit. How could they describe the Holy Spirit? One day, the translator saw a group of porters going out into the bush carrying bundles on their heads. They noticed one didn't carry anything. They assumed he was the boss, who was present to make sure the others did their work. However, they discovered he was not the boss. Rather, he was present so that should anyone fall down with exhaustion, this man would pick up that man's load and carry it for him. This porter was known in the Kari language as, quote, "the one who falls down beside us." That's the Paraclete. The one who falls down beside us. Point one today is God formed us, and he has given us the one who falls down beside us. God not only formed us, but God fashions us. The potter's art provided the biblical writers with many symbols. The theme of God as master potter, molding people and nations, is a common one. In Isaiah 64, the prophet gives us a remarkable description of the potter when he says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter, and we are the work of your hands." Isaiah 64:8. The prophet Jeremiah speaks these words from the master potter. "Come, go down to the potter's house. There I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Jeremiah 18:6. I asked my potter, I call him my potter friend, the man who runs this pottery business, to explain to me the process of throwing a pot. What does it take to take a lump of clay, form it, and fashion it into a usable vessel? First, he said, there's a sintering process of getting the clay wet in order to put it on the potter's wheel. In this process, there is an opening and pulling of the wet clay. This step is repeated multiple times until the image of the vessel is what the potter has in mind. During this process, there is a speeding up of the potter's wheel and a slowing down. There is external pressure put on the clay. The shaping and refining of the pot is done through this through miscellaneous tools. I don't know if you've seen a potter, like he's pounding on it, stretching it. Then he takes the tools and he starts doing the fine details. The pot is put aside to dry for a couple of days, and then it's fired in a kiln, he said. When the molded clay is put into the kiln, the temperature is raised to 2,850 degrees. Talk about a refiner's fire. John Henry Jowett, a pastor and teacher, beautifully expressed what characterizes the life of power. He said, another element in the forceful character is heat, the fire of an unquenchable enthusiasm. The Acts of the Apostles is a burning book. There is no cold or lukewarm patch from end to end. The disciples have been baptized with fire, the holy, glowing enthusiasm caught from the altar of God. They had this central fire from which every other purpose and faculty in life gets its strength. This fire is the apostles' soul was like a furnace fire inside a great liner, which drives her from the tempest and through the envious and engulfing deep. Nothing could stop these men. Nothing could hinder their going. We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We must obey God rather than man. This strong imperative rings throughout all their doings and all their speech. They have heat and they have light because they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. We must obey God rather than all other people. The image of us being compared to clay is real and personal. For us to get to the potter's wheel, there's a sintering process. And in this process, we might get wet with tears as we're pulled and stretched. We are fashioned by the circumstances and the events that come into our lives. Wow, can you believe that this worldwide pandemic passed through the potter's hands? Yes. I have a little saying when I'm going through a difficult time. I push my finger into my hand as hard as I can, and I say to myself, everything passes through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Everything you're facing, everything you're going through, God is not surprised at the events in our lives. Stay on the potter's wheel. There's no safer place. I had a friend that was going through a difficult time, and we were talking about being on the potter's wheel, and he says, I'm done. I want to get off. And I said, well, the best place to be is in the potter's hands. Truth be told, we all go through a sintering process. Maybe you're there right now. Some of us experience similar events in life. Some may have walked through the valley of the shadow of death with a child, a spouse, a parent, or a sibling. Some may be struggling with a chronic illness or physical pain. Others may be out of work or stuck in the mud of a financial crisis, while others are being pulled this way and that way at work or in school and family relationships or by their children. One thing I can say is that all of us on this planet are being pulled and pushed through this worldwide pandemic. Stay on the potter's wheel. if we were honest, each of us has spent our time on the potter's wheel, being formed, being centered, pulled up, pulled apart, stretched, and fashioned. We might feel as if the master potter thought we were spoiled in some way and is reworking us, like Jeremiah writes, being formed in the image of our Creator. Being fashioned by the potter's hand can put our faith to the test. To be honest with you, I know some who have walked away from the potter's vessel, the potter's wheel, never to come close to the potter again. The truth is that we are all clay to be molded and fashioned by the potter's hand into a usable vessel. I have to say that the best and safest place in this world is in the potter's hands. We may not always understand what we're going through. We may not like the way we are being fashioned. We may not like the way we are being wet down with tears or spun around. But truth be told, the best place to be is in the potter's hands. God not only forms us and fashions us, but the promise of the scriptures is that God fills us. That's the promise of this Pentecost story in Acts. The disciples were told to wait, and they would be filled. And on that day, Pentecost day, all of the disciples were filled. Not one, not some, not a few, but all were filled. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Pentecost is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Joel. Joel foretold us that God was going to pour out His Spirit on all people, young and old, men and women, rich and poor. All people who call on the name of the Lord would be saved and receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Pentagon, standing in Arlington, Virginia, on the fringe of our nation's capital, is one of the largest and most famous buildings in the world? Lieutenant General Brehan Somerville pushed through the initial construction of this amazing five-face, five-story building in 16 months. Many caustic and humorous remarks surrounded what was being called at that time Somerville's folly. Among the humorous stories that was circulated at that time was that a Western Union messenger boy went into the Pentagon to deliver a message, and he got lost and finally emerged as a colonel. Well, I don't know if that's true. This city is a city in itself. It covers 42 acres of ground with 120 acres of lawn to cut. The building originally represented an expenditure of $100 million. The inconceivable dimensions of this building are so impressive that the Queen Mary, the Empire State Building, and the Washington Monument could all be housed within its walls. The Pentagon contains 34 acres of floor space and 17 and a half miles of corridors. Despite this enormous size, the Pentagon is said to be exceedingly well managed. It's pretentious, that Pentagon is. The Pentagon represents absolute defense, but Pentecost is ultimate destiny. One majors in protection, while the other majors in the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has formed us. God has fashioned us. God's desire is to fill us. God's desire is that we're fired up. Today, we're celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate being formed. We celebrate being fashioned. We celebrate being filled. Keep in mind, we also need to be fired in the kiln. As you go through your life, remember there's another in the fire with you, and He has promised to be with you to the end of the age. Everything about you passes through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. You are formed, you are fashioned, you are filled, and the final step is to be fired up and to continue to work with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. Melt us, mold us, form us, fashion us, fill us with your power, and use us for your glory. Give us dreams and visions to build our families, our neighborhoods, our vocations, our world, and your church. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.